Happy Father's Day. Happy Dad's Day of Dubai. Hope you're going to enjoy yourself with your children here. And if you are getting in touch with your fathers back in your home countries, then how are you doing that? Is it a text? Is it a phone call? Is it an email? Is it via a social networking site? How do we make that contact, that special contact with that special someone? And we'd love to hear your stories this morning about your dads, about your fathers, remembering growing up as a small child, what you did with your father, those memories that stay with you forever, the things that they taught you, those special lessons. There are certain things that we pick up from our parents, and in particular our dads, and what we carry forward into our adult years. Apparently in India, in Hindu tradition, Samine, there's no Father's Day concept in Hinduism. In countries of Hindu tradition, the Western-inspired Father's Day is celebrated on the new moon day during late August or early September.
Mm-hmm. Like many other cultural values or traits or behaviors that we look at, especially from a cross-cultural perspective, you'll see that it will be very closely tied in to other aspects of their cultural system. So if it is something that they embrace, or if it's as a product of globalization that has now spread, because days like Valentine's Day or some of the other, St. Patrick's Day, for example, these were things that were never celebrated in collectivist traditionalist societies that had no association or relation to it. But with globalization and the fact that there may be a platform, a global platform to celebrate these days, we may have adopted as well such days of celebration to be able to give back. And in India, the father is a very important figure, that disciplinarian, the financial support system, or the key individual in which, who provides a firm backbone to the family, and that has evolved as well. Even in the most authoritarian conservative societies, the role of who the father is and what they used to be has changed very much over the years.
Someone's SMS'd in regarding the figures we gave out about card buying, and we were saying that Mother's Day cards, 139 million cards bought, sent rather as well, and Father's Day, 94 million. And someone's SMS'd in saying perhaps the figures you gave may reflect that many mothers are more creative and have the time to spend making cards with children rather than buying them. That's a point, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And again, that, you know, if you're the receiver, how do you feel when you receive the message via email or via a social networking site or via a text message or via a card? And if it's via a card, does it make a difference whether that car's been bought or it's been made?
Yes, and in schools, I think they do that quite often in different celebrations, making of cards. I know that there are some mothers that keep every bit of paper and craft work that their children have made. It's very special to them. They keep it in a folder. They put it in frames. There are things that we cherish because it is really, so much more goes into it when you produce, when you create such a token of appreciation, rather than if it's bought or rather than if it's just on a screen. Mm. So there's different levels of it, isn't it, of effort that goes into it.
And generally speaking, when you talk about keeping that card, I've still got postcards, I've still got letters from friends, from family over the years, you know, before the internet, before
yes.
email, and before Facebook, before the text, you know, the mobile
yeah.
phone. And that's kind of been, I think, will be lost in this, you know, the new generation. And whether it's a good or a bad thing, but there is still now, if I go to my flat in London, into the packed up, waterproof tight down there in the basement, I can
yeah.
open up and there are all my letters from a very young girl up to, you know, into my sort of mid-20s.
Right.
And that is something you can refer back to. And it's examples of that we've found, and we'll get into some of these a little bit later, letters to fathers, letters from your father mm-hmm, to you, mm-hmm. and what it means and how you've passed that on with your children. But also then, years down the line, you can get them out, read them, and there's a piece of your history, there's a shared memory with your father, and particularly if they've passed or if you don't get to see them very often, it's amazing, and that's gold.
Yeah,
that's
powerful.
A lot of value.
Yes, yeah. And so the storage of such memories, and they are memories that have been created in the past, but we can use in the present if we know where they are. Sometimes with emails and things, it's difficult to tap into it. But the modern day father really does come in different forms, and today's a celebration of all the different forms. So today's father is no longer always the traditional, you know, married breadwinner and disciplinarian in the family. This person can be single or married. They can be externally employed or even stay at home. Many different forms, adoptive or step-parent, and more than capable to be a care provider. See, because the name father should be synonymous for someone who teaches and helps develop a child, both physically and psychologically. And lots of research across families from all ethnic backgrounds suggests the father's affection and increased family involvement definitely help promote children's social and emotional development. So the fact that that particular parental figure is present can very much affect a child's psychological development. But over the 200 years ago, looking at each generation, what research says is that fathers have less authority, but that doesn't mean that they have less involvement, so their role has changed, because the concept of fatherhood changed drastically after the Industrial Revolution. So what we needed was that one member of the family had to go out and work, and it was decided that men were usually chosen because women were the care providers or the ones that were caring the babies and going to nurture them when they were first born. And this was the beginning of the separation of tasks that would take place, or the separation division of labor that took place. So fathers went out to work and mothers stayed home with the children. And that influenced the level of involvement.
We'll find out more about the history and the progression of the role of the father. Father the provider, father the disciplinarian. Wait till your father gets home. Remember that saying?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then the father was, his role was outside, and then we used him as a threat almost.
Yeah.
Wait till he gets home.
And because his role and the idea of masculinity,
yes,
of status, of power, and that, you know, your father is the person that you're answerable
to.
Yeah, you're answerable to him. And also the father is the audience. So tell daddy what you did today.
Yeah, very different.
And yeah, and when father gets in from a long day at work and there's the children ready to tell you what they've done. And you know what, I just need to go and have 5 minutes first, you know. So yeah, we are exploring all of the many multifaceted parts to being a father. And someone's SMS'd in saying, my parents are Italian. He's a man of few words. My mother is a woman of many words. He taught me that silence is indeed golden, and that the ability to switch off as your wife rambles on is a gift indeed.